Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Yeshiva University's Taste of YU, tonight focusing on Yeshiva University High Schools. My name is Michael Taubes, and I'm privileged to serve as the Rosh Yeshiva of MTA, Yeshiva University High School, as well as the Rosh Yeshiva in REITs, but tonight I'm wearing the high school hat. But it's really the same because it's for the sake of Divrei Torah in connection with the Yom Tov of Pesach. Baruch Hashem, we have very successful high schools. I can speak more about the boys' school and telling you the following. They're wonderful students. They're interested in learning. They're interested in growing in terms of Yiras Shamayim, interested in advancing academically. But being their high school students, they're very, very makbid. They're very, very insistent. They're very careful when it comes to the bells, when it comes to especially the bells that signify the end of a period, especially when the teacher seems to be going on a little extra after the class is over. The students will remind the teacher, hey, listen, the period's over. Rabbi so-and-so, Mrs. so-and-so, Dr. so-and-so, the bell rang, the period's over. And, I guess, as I said, the high school students are very, very careful about this. But if we think about it, there's not only a time-honored high school tradition, but we find something very, very similar in the Haggadah on Pesach as well. Towards the very beginning of Magid, we read Avodim Hayinu right after the Manishtana. At the end of the paragraph of Avodim Hayinu, we say, "Vafilu kolonu chachamim, kolonu nevonim, kolonu zekenim, kolonu yodim esator." Even if we're all wise, we're all intelligent, and we're all smart, and we all know the whole Torah and so on, mitzvah leinu lesaper b'yetzias Mitzrayim, we nonetheless have a mitzvah to relate the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus from Egypt, and b'chol amar b'lesaper b'yetzias Mitzrayim, or is a meshubach, anybody who increases, tells the story at greater length and so on, is considered praiseworthy. Those are the two statements that the paragraph makes. Even if we're all wise, we're all knowledgeable, nonetheless, we have an obligation to tell the story, and not only that, but the more we talk about it, the greater our reward, the greater our zechus and our reward is. To illustrate or to prove those two points, the very next passage in the Haggadah reads the famous story. It's the story of great Tanoim who got together one year, Pesach night. We actually don't have this story appearing in this form anywhere else, as far as I know, in early rabbinic literature. The story is, we know, Maaseh Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yishuv, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, these great Tanoim, Shom Mesubim b'Bnei Brak, they were residing, they were having the Seder in B'nai Brak, that's where Rabbi Akiva lived, Rabbi Mesaprim b'Tzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oso Halaylo. And the whole night of Pesach, the whole Seder night, they were busy talking about Tzipri Yitzis Mitzrayim, Ad Shebo Salmideim v'Omer Lahem Rabbi Oseinu, Igiyaz Man Kriyas Mosh Shachris, until the students came to them in the morning, and they said, oh, Rabbis, it's time for Shacharis. Exactly what I told you before, like the high school students. The period's over. The bell rang. What are you doing? Why are you still talking about the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's already time to say Shacharis. It's the next period, right? It's over. And the students notified them of this fact, and that's how the story ends. So I'd like to look a little bit about at the story and try to understand about what the Haggadah may be communicating, telling us this story. And as I say, as far as I know, the story does not appear, at least in this form, in another rabbinic literature. But it's here in a prominent place right at the beginning of the Haggadah. And as I said before, this story with these five great Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yishuv, etc., is a proof of both points that were mentioned towards the end of the previous paragraph. The end of the previous paragraph said, Afilu kolon chachamim, kolon revonim, etc. Even if we're all scholarly, we're all knowledgeable. Well, who was more knowledgeable, who was more scholarly than these great Tanoim? They certainly were well aware of the story and all the intricacies thereof. And nonetheless, they spent time talking about it. So that's why this is a proof to that statement that whoever maybe wise, maybe knowledgeable, still has the mitzvah. And number two, they went all night. So then it proves the second part of the statement that mitzvah l'saper kol amar b'l'saper b'tzias Mitzrayim is a meshubah. Whoever tells the story at greater length and a greater detail is more praiseworthy. So both these points are illustrated by this story. But what exactly is going on here with these students coming and telling them, well, the period's over, right? The bell rang. It's time to say Kriya Shema in the morning. Why are you still talking about Tzipor Yitzias Mitzrayim? And so I'd like to look at a few things. We take a look in the Rambam, in the laws of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah. The Rambam tells us in Perek Zayin that we know that there is a requirement to relate the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's learned from the different psukim in the Torah, one of the more famous psukim that's highlighted in the Haggadah. V'igadata levincha ba'om ule mor, barbu zeh asa shem li b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. Right? We're supposed to tell our children what happened. That's the whole story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so many things we do in the Haggadah are designed to stimulate the children to ask questions. Right, whenever someone asks a question, why do we do this on Pesach? The answer is, so the children will ask. Okay, what's the answer? So the children will ask. Okay, we want the children to ask questions. So that's part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim requirement that the children should ask questions. And so therefore we have this mitzvah. I'm when exactly does this mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim take place? It just says we got it all. So the Chazal have a suggestion. It's actually in the Haggadah, Yachol Merosh Chodesh. Maybe we should already start telling over the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim starting on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was last week, last Sunday. After all, last Shabbos was Shabbos Parshas HaChodesh, and last Shabbos we read about the significance of the month of Nisan, the first month on the Jewish calendar. Maybe I might think you should begin telling the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim already, Yochol Merosh Chodesh. And then the Haggadah says, and it's in the Medrash like this too, it's in the Haggadah, it says, Talmud Lomar Bayom Ahu. No, the Pasuk says, we got it Bayom Ahu, on this day. Well, what's this day? You would think it means Pesach, but actually the Korban Pesach was brought on the day that we call Erev Pesach. The 14th of Nisan in the afternoon is when the Korban Pesach was brought. So I might think, well, since you bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, the day that we popularly call Erev Pesach, since you bring the Korban Pesach in the afternoon, maybe that's when the mitzvah should apply. And the Gemara, the Medrash concludes, and again, it's in the Haggadah, no, Talmud Lomar, Bavur, Zel, Omar, Kelim, Sheshmatzom, Rorim, Munachem, Lefanecha. You have a requirement to relate the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know when? When matzah and maror are in effect. When we have a requirement to eat matzah and maror, there's a connection between the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the telling of the story, and the eating of the matzah and maror. When there's a mitzvah to eat matzah and maror, that's when the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is in effect. Now, there's an interesting question about that. Does that proof or does that derivation prove to us that actually one must have matzah and maror at the table when telling the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's an interesting question. Or is this telling us the time frame? And so must there actually be matzah and maror on the table when you tell the story? Or it's just the time when you have the mitzvah of matzah and maror? It doesn't have to be that there's matzah and maror at the table. And afkamina lahalocha, perhaps a difference, whether the ka'ara, the seder plate, with the matzah and the maror and so on, the rest of the seder plate items, do they have to be open and exposed and revealed during the time we're telling over the Haggadah or not? There are different traditions about it. It's not going to go into now, but it may depend a little bit on this question of whether the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, while it's certainly connected to matzah and maror, does it mean you have to have matzah and maror in front of you, literally, or it just has to be in that time slot? There is a Gemara earlier in Pesachim, which refers to a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that describes matzah as lechem oni. Lechem oni has another number of different interpretations. One is means poor man's bread, you know, like the matzah that we get today. It's only about $40 a pound or something like that. So it's poor man's bread, lechem oni, but really means poor man's in the sense that has no fancy ingredients, just plain flour and water. But that's one interpretation. But there's another interpretation of the phrase lechem oni, which means from the word not only poor, but only one answering, talking. Lechem she'onim olav dvar maharbe. It's bread, it's food concerning which we relate, we tell over. La'anos, to answer, one, the bread which we tell over many things in conjunction with this. So the implication of that is that in fact, the matzah and the maror should actually be there. It's matzah's called lechem oni. Sounds like it should be there, okay, in front of you. Actually, Rashi, though, appears not to learn that way, because Rashi holds, what does it mean, lechem she'onim olav dvar maharbe? It means bread, it means food, concerning which we say many things. What are the many things? Says Rashi, the Haggadah and Hallel. Hallel, which we say towards the end of the Haggadah, after we've already had the meal, after the matzah and maror all gone. So according to Rashi, it doesn't have to be this matzah and maror in front of you, literally, during the time of telling the story, because according to Rashi, the recitation of Hallel at the end of the Seder is part of the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Sefer Chinuch seems to imply that way too. If that's the case, well, there's no more matzah and maror. We ate it already. It's after the meal. It's after benching. Hallel is at the very end. So therefore, according to Rashi, it would appear that the matzah and maror don't really have to be there. However, the Meiri, on that Gemara, he actually says, Haggadah v'hascholos. We have to have matzah and maror. It means we say the Haggadah, lechem she'onim olav dvar maharbe, when we say the Haggadah, and when we begin Hallel. As you will recall, we begin Hallel before the meal. The first two paragraphs of Hallel are recited at the end of Maggid prior to the meal, when the matzah and maror is still out there. So this may be that machlokas. So Salavetchik, the Rav Zichron Baruch Hu, once suggested that maybe this explains a different practice, that even according to Rashi, the matzah and maror have to be there, even when we say Hallel. What do you mean? It's gone. We already ate the matzah and maror. Yes, it's true, but we have the matzah and maror taste in our mouth. So we remember the halacha. You're not allowed to eat anything after the afikomen. The afikomen should be the last thing that we eat, other than the two cups of wine. But the last food that we eat is the afikomen. Why is that? So we should have tam matzah. We should have the flavor of matzah in our mouth. Why is it important to have the flavor of matzah in your mouth? Well, okay, we did the mitzvah. What do I have to keep the flavor in my mouth for? The answer is, again, because while the matzah and maror literally aren't there, but the matzah flavor is in your mouth. So then in a certain sense, it's like the matzah. That's what Avsalah Jashik suggests. In any event, that's the idea. So that's a question, but whether matzah and maror have to be literally there or not. But certainly it's during the time frame. So when is that time frame? What is the latest time? I entitled the shiur, How Late is Too Late? And what is the latest time for the mitzvah sipur etzis mitzrayim? So this is actually a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is of the opinion that the mitzvah sipur etzis mitzrayim is over. It expires, you know when? Midnight. Chatzos. At midnight. And he learns it out, the Gemara towards the very end of Pesachim, he learns it out from Psukim, that the Korban Pesach meat, according to him, had to be eaten by midnight. It's a sort of a Gzeres Shavah. It says, Achlos HaBosar B'Laila Ahu, you had to eat the matzah that night. There's another Pesach that night, the same expression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to Mitzrayim from Makas Bechoros that night. So he says, just like Makas Bechoros is at midnight, so too, the expiration time for the mitzvah of eating the meat from the Korban Pesach, that expires at midnight as well. And therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the latest time to tell the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the latest time to eat the meat from the Korban Pesach, like the latest time to eat matzah, the latest time to eat the afikoman, and according to some, that's even the latest time to say halal, midnight. That's the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have all night. Okay, because after all, they didn't come out of Mitzrayim until the next morning. He says, Shas Chipozon, they come out the next morning. They weren't allowed to go out during the night because the Pesach says, Atem lo seitzu ish mi Pesach beso ad boker. They had to stay in their house that whole night. They came out the next morning. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you can tell the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim all night long. So that's a machlokas tanaim. As a side point, we might ask the following question. I read before the passage from the Haggadah, Maaseh, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is one of the rabbis, was one of the Tanoim, who was present that night in Bnei Brak. And it says they were up all night telling the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So one may ask, why was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah there? According to his own opinion, that mitzvah is over at midnight. Midnight means not necessarily 12 midnight. I think this year it's 1 o'clock, 1:02 or something, you know, because we're in daylight savings time, but it means the middle of the night. So according to Elazar ben Azariah, that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim expires, in fact, at the midnight. So why did he stay though? He should have packed up and said, I'm going to sleep, folks. Okay, you guys can talk about this all night long. I'm going to sleep. The mitzvah's over. So that's an interesting question. According to Elazar ben Azariah, why? So Rav Soloveitchik again once suggested that he held that when he said that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is at the time when the matzah and maror are in front of you, means it can't start earlier than that. That's what that brisa is that's in the Haggadah, Yochel Merosh Chodesh. Can't be earlier than that. Can't start earlier than when the matzah and maror are out. But it can go later as long as you didn't start early. You didn't violate that. You weren't over in that iser. So then you can go as late as you want. Maybe that's the case. It doesn't seem to be the simple view. But that's one thing I've Soloveitchik said. The stipler going in the Sefer Kilis Yaakov on Brochus and some Gimel. He said, you're right. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah really did feel that the mitzvah expires at midnight. But, you know, he was a guest there. The Gemara says elsewhere, we know that Bnei Brak was the hometown of Rabbi Akiva. So all these rabbis that are mentioned in that story were visiting the home of Rabbi Akiva for Pesach. That's an interesting question why they were there. We can discuss another time. But they were visiting the house of Rabbi Akiva. Those who have been to Bnei Brak know that to this day, one of the main streets in Bnei Brak is Rechov Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so this was Rabbi Akiva's hometown. And so they were by Rabbi Akiva. So Elazar ben Azariah was a guest. So even though he personally held that the mitzvah expires already at midnight, but okay, he didn't want to change the practice of the community he was visiting. He was a guest. And therefore he participated, he stayed there, he didn't make a fuss about anything. Okay, that's one possibility. Another possibility is that he understood that he's the minority view. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a great Tana, but the other rabbis disagreed with him. So he was a minority view, Yochid Berabim, right? He was a minority against the majority. And therefore he said, listen, you know, I have my opinion, but I'm going to defer to the rabbi. I'm going to defer to the more consensus opinion. That's another possibility this type of suggests. And then he says a more lundish approach. He says, maybe, yeah, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim per se ends or expires at midnight. However, there was an additional mitzvah, so to speak, midrabanan, we called in Haggadah here, B'chol HaMarbe L'Saper, to tell over the story at great length, to go on, to talk more. That's a separate thing. That, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would agree, could go on well after midnight. The basic mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that talk expires at midnight. However, the mitzvah of, or the idea of Kol HaMarbe L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaRezeh Meshubach, right, which it says in Haggadah, that the more you tell, the greater, the more praiseworthy it is. That already is even after midnight. And there, in a similar vein, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav's uncle, suggested that perhaps what they were Mekayim after midnight, according to what I was saying, it was Talmud Torah. After all, it's learning. You're talking about Pesach. It's quoting Psukim from Chumash and passages from Chazal and so on and so forth. Okay. So it's a Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah could go past midnight as well. Those are some of the answers. In fact, it's just interesting because there is this story, as I said, does not appear in this form anywhere but in the Haggadah. But there was a Tosefta at the very end of Pesachim, which has a similar story, and it talks about not that they sat up all night talking about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but rather they learned Hilchos Pesach. They learned Halacha. They were studying Halacha all night. So that could go theoretically all night. But there is yet another approach, which is suggested by the Mishkas Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Lekarlina, one of the Yachronim, in his Tshuvas in Kufnan Aleph, or Chelek Or Chaim. He says something else. He says, there is a mitzvah besides Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering. Now, there are a number of fundamental differences. Okay, on Pesach night, there's a mitzvah L'Saper. That's the Rambam's language, L'Saper, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every night of the year, including tonight, and on a random night in November, and a random night in the summer, there's a mitzvah called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to remember, we don't have to tell the whole story. We have to remember. You know when we do that? In the third parsha of Kriyat Shema. We say at the very end, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. We make reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't tell a whole story like we do with the Haggadah, back and forth, some psukim and questions. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, Chaim Brisker, suggested a number of basic differences between the nightly and daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and the once a year Pesach mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to have a question answer format, right? The child asks or the youngster asks and the parents respond. It has to be a question answer format. And you have a certain procedure. You have to start with the bad news, maslab b'nus m'sayim b'shrach. You have to start with the sad part of the story and build up to the, you know, chiffel and wonderful part of the story. You have to have it's a whole process, which you don't have to do every night of the year. Just say, in passing, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And you also have to talk about the mitzvahs of the evening. That's what Chaim said. And there are many other things we can add as well. The Rav added that on Pesach night, you have to praise Hashem and thank Him, hallel, which you don't have every night. Okay, so there's some basic differences. But what the Mishkan's Yaakov suggests is that on Pesach night, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, maybe that expires at midnight, but the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's ongoing. That goes on the whole rest of the night. Okay. Now there's a question. Is there a Kol HaMarbe that applies to that too? Interesting question. So what Rav Soloveitchik suggested based on the following question to pull everything together is along the following lines. When exactly is it, I was kibitzing before when we started, that high school students are very careful about the bell at the end of the period. They know very well when the period's over. The bell doesn't ring, believe me, they got it set on their watches. Right? We know the period's over. That's exactly what these students did. They came to the rabbis and they said, Rav Hoseinu, Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Right? The morning, time to say the morning Shema. When exactly was that? And when exactly did the mitzvah expire? Let's forget about Elazar ben Azariah now. Let's even according to Mekiva, who says you have all night. And that's the majority of you have all night. So forget about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We gave a few answers to support or to explain his position. But what about Rabbi Akiva, who says that you have all night long? What does it mean exactly, all night long? Well, usually all night long means until daybreak, until dawn. Okay, until dawn. So Lechora, if I were interpreting this passage in the Haggadah, I would say, when did these students show up? They showed up at dawn. That's when, quote unquote, the bell rings. That's the end of the night, even according to Mekiva. But Elazar ben Azariah says the mitzvah expires at midnight. Okay, so we talked about that. But even according to Mekiva, you have all night, but until dawn, until morning, until daybreak, right? So when did the students come? What did the students come and say? They didn't come and say, Rabbi Senu, it's dawn, right? It's Alos HaShachar time. They said, Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. They said, it's the morning, it's time for the morning Shachris. Now, why would they say that? Well, according to Rav Velvela Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Meir, the Rav's uncle, the Griz, Rav Yosef Zev Soloveitchik, who said that the mitzvah they were doing, according to Elazar ben Azariah, past midnight was Talmud Torah. Well, we have a rule, Mafsikin Talmud Torah, you stop learning, even if in the middle of learning, when it's time to say Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, you have to say in its proper time, and therefore you can even stop learning. Mafsik and Talmud Torah likros Kriya Shema. So that will explain why the student said, "Rabbis, it's time to say Kriya Shema," because at that point you interrupt whatever mitzvah you're doing in order to say Kriya Shema. However, what's interesting is that the zman, the time of Kriya Shema, does not arrive with daybreak, but rather at a time called Mishayakir, which means when people can distinguish, when it's light enough out to distinguish between different colors, blue and white, blue and green, or it's light enough to distinguish and notice a friend who's maybe four amas away when it's pitch black, but you can already, it's getting light a little bit so you can see him. Maybe not with a mask, that's even harder, but in general, you can see somebody from a distance and recognize him even at night when he's a certain few paces away when it's starting to get light out. So whatever time that is, but that Mishayakir time is after dawn. Okay, it's not daybreak. Daybreak is still pretty dark out. It's got to be a little bit lighter to distinguish between these different colors or to see somebody from a certain distance. And that's what it says. You look in our Chaim Siman Nun Ches, the time of Misha Yakir. Okay, so the point of these, it's not, by the way, it's not sunrise yet. I'll make it clear. Okay, it's not sunrise. Sunrise later is a later time. It's kind of in between dawn, and not exactly in between, but it's not exactly in between, but it's between dawn and sunrise. Okay, dawn is alos ha-shachar, that we call daybreak. Mishayakir is, that's when you could put on talis and tefillin. It sometimes becomes relevant to minyanim during the winter time, and other times where people have to get out and want to know the earliest time they can put on talis and tefillin. Okay, that's called mishayakir, and then after that is hanetzacham. After that is sunrise. In any event, the question is as follows. Why would these students, Rav Soloveitchik asked, wait until not till daybreak, but till after daybreak? If it's true that the mitzvah, even according to Bekiva, expires at daybreak, so the students shouldn't have come to the rabbis and said, listen, Rav Oseinu, it's time for Shema. That's already a little later. That's a number of minutes later. They should have said as soon as it's daybreak, hey, rabbis, it's daybreak. Okay, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is over. Okay, so why do they wait until the Zman of Kriya Shema, which they said is after daybreak, not quite as late as sunrise, but it's after daybreak. Okay, why did they wait until then if the mitzvah expires? So one could answer on a simple level, that's the story that happened. They weren't watching the clock exactly. Okay, they're not like the high school students I referred to before, watching the clock exactly. And they came, it happened to be time for Kriya Shema. That's possible. But Rav Soloveitchik suggested that we could learn something a little more creative. In this regard, what mitzvah were they fulfilling? So, according to Belezim and the Zarya, certainly the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim expired at midnight. According to Bekiva, it expired at daybreak. But we also said that there's a nightly mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, I ask you, if on Pesach night you're doing the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, do you also have to do the quote unquote lesser mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Lechora, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim includes Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Okay, it's a more expansive version. So every night of the year, tonight and every other night of the year, we make passing brief reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim, okay. But on Pesach night, we go into detail. We tell the story. Well, that's also Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's where perhaps one can technically make a case. They wouldn't have to say Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We do. We don't alter our davening, but strictly speaking, it would appear that the fulfillment of performance of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim includes Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim as well, okay? Because I said it's simply a more expansive version of the same mitzvah. In fact, it's very interesting because the same Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the very next passage in the Haggadah talks about the nightly mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a mission in Brachos. We wonder what that's doing in the Haggadah. Because right after the story with the rabbis in Bnei Brak, it says, we all know the story. I'm only 18 years old. I look like I'm much older and so on. That whole story. Okay, what's that doing in the Pesach Haggadah? It's right after this other story. Now, some say he had that discussion that very night. Okay, that's when he told the story. That's why it's here. That's when he presented this thought. And he said, I look like I'm 70 years old. Really, I'm only 18 and so on. And we read Amar of Elazar ben Azariah, but you could read it She'amar. It was the same night that the story happened. But still, we wonder why that's in the Pesach Haggadah, because that L'chora has nothing to do with Pesach. That's talking about the mitzvah of Kriya Shema at night, every night of the year. So why is that passage? It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Brachas, but why is it in the Haggadah? Oh, but if we say that when one performs the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's also a fulfillment of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, then we understand. They talk about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's connected. It's connected. It's part of the same mitzvah. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is simply a more expansive version of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, if that's the case, when does the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim expire? Every night of the year, right? You can say it every night. When does it expire? It expires when the daytime version of that mitzvah takes effect. The day, there's a mitzvah daily to say during the day as well as during the night to recall the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Again, not to go into the details like at the Seder, but to recall the event. So when does the night Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim expire? When the daytime Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim goes into effect. Now, when does the daytime Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim go into effect? When the daytime Kriya Shema goes into effect. It's a very interesting observation. I just mentioned there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every night and every day of the year. You know what's strange? The Rambam does not enumerate that mitzvah amongst his list of the 613 mitzvahs. Very peculiar. A lot of people jump on him. What happened to the mitzvah of Zechiras? It's psukim there, psukim that prove it. What happened to the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? How can the Rambam not count that on his list of the 613 mitzvahs? The Rambam wrote a book called the Sefer HaMitzvahs. We list off all the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. He talks about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Pesach night, yes, but he never talks about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim on a regular Tuesday night in November or regular Wednesday morning in July. He never talks of why. What happened? So there are a number of answers. Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik suggested that, well, the Rambam believes that Kriya Shema that we recite every day consists, as we know, of three paragraphs. But there's a big discussion how many of those three paragraphs must be recited on a Doraisa, on a Torah level, to discharge the mitzvah of Kriya Shema every day. We have several different opinions. Some say all you really need on a Torah level is the first pasuk. Shema Yisrael, Shema Kena, Shema Chod. That's it. The rest is rabbinically required, but the first pasuk is Doraisa. Some say not just the first pasuk, but the first whole first paragraph. Now, V'yahavta Shema Kecha until Uvisharecha. Some say the first two paragraphs. And the Rambam says all three paragraphs are biblically mandated as part of Kriya Shema. Says Reb Chaim, that's why the Rambam doesn't count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as a separate mitzvah of the Taryag, because he counts Kriya Shema, and according to him, the third paragraph of Kriya Shema, which talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eitzchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that paragraph is a fulfillment of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's part of the biblical requirement according to the Rambam. So says Reb Chaim, there was no need for him to count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as a separate mitzvah, because it's already subsumed under the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which is Doraisa according to him, including that paragraph. So therefore, he didn't have to mention it separately. But if this is the case, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, Zichron Levroch, suggested one second. The Rav suggested, well, there's a night mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there's a daytime mitzvah. When does the daytime mitzvah take effect? When the daytime mitzvah of Kriya Shema takes effect. When is that? Not alos ha-shachar, when the day breaks, but rather the time of Misha Yakir, and some moments, some minutes later, when you can distinguish and so on, when it's earliest time for Talis and Tzillin, etc. That's when the time of the morning Kriya Shema arrives. So that's why the students did not interrupt their rabbis until it was time for Misha Yakir, until they said, Rabbo Seinu, Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. There's not, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has expired. According to Elazar ben Azariah, it expired at midnight. But even according to Bikiva, it expired at daybreak. And now that the time for the morning Kriya Shema has arrived, the morning mitzvah of Kriya Shema has arrived. So the evening mitzvah of Kriya Shema, including Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, has also expired. And that's why the students waited precisely for their Rabbanim to tell them, listen, Rabbo Seinu, Igriyazman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Now there's no more mitzvah. Not Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, not Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's over. And now that's it. So stop. There's no purpose in going any further. Now you got to say Kriya Shema. That's an interpretation or an insight into this little passage from the Haggadah. Just want to conclude by noting And I hope you'll be able to think this over, and perhaps it'll be able to say it over your Seder. It's a very, I think, interesting and insightful interpretation of a passage from the Haggadah that we don't pay that much attention to, but it actually gives us, I think, a lot of interesting ideas that we touch upon with regards to the Seder. The truth of the matter is, though, the other thing we learn from this story very simply, without all the fancy lumdas, is we go right from Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim or Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim right to Kriya Shema. There's no break from Torah mitzvahs. We go from one mitzvah to the other. Yelchu mechayel el chayel. We go from strength to strength. And even when we finish one mitzvah, we go right to the next mitzvah. And that's what we're trying to inculcate into our students. A love for mitzvahs, no break from mitzvahs. There's no break from Torah. Doesn't mean everybody's learning and doing mitzvahs every second. But even you're not doing a mitzvah, you're living a life governed by mitzvahs. And that's really our goal. And yes, I jokingly spoke about students telling the teacher the class is over, the period's over. But any person in any, and our yeshiva and the girls I said will know many times the teachers talked with the students, the rebbeim and the moros talked with the students well after the class is over, well after the period is over. There's no more mitzvah. It may even be after the final exam. It may be after the tests are done and so on and so forth. But we maintain a relationship with our talmidim. Because it's not just about the precise performance of the mitzvah. When that's done, we got something else. Okay, there's something else we can talk about. This mitzvah is over. We'll talk about that. Now we're learning all about Pesach. You know what? After Pesach, we talk about Tzuras Omer. We talk about Shavuos. And when this Parsha ends this week, we learn Parsha Yikra. Next week, we move on to Parsha Tzav. That's what we want to inculcate into our students. They should understand, our Talmidim should understand, that a life of Torah is a life governed by Torah mitzvahs. Again, doesn't mean there's no such thing as downtime, doesn't mean there's no such thing sometimes as relaxing and enjoying certain things also out of the academic realm. Important also, and we can talk about that at a different time, but it's a life governed by Torah mitzvahs. The focal point is, when's the next mitzvah that I can do? When can I do something else in the realm of Torah? If it's not actual learning, it's living the life of Torah. These Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, understood. They came to Rabbi Akiva and the other Rabbanim. At the end of that evening, they say, okay, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is over. Okay, the mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, those mitzvahs are over. But right away, there's something else to tend to. There's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Kabbalos Olmachus Shamayim. I hope that all of us will be able to go Mechayel Chayel. We'll have wonderful Siddurim, and the Siddurim will be a springboard in our home and our families for more learning and for more opportunities for exchange between the generations. That's one of the most wonderful things about the Pesach Seder, is the exchange of the generations. That point shouldn't be lost either, that it was the students, the young students, who were coming to the Rebbeim to interact with them and so on. That shouldn't be lost. That's part of our Seder as well. And there's a connection that we almost forget about, the quote-unquote generation gap. Children, grandchildren, talk to parents, grandparents. That's what the Seder is about. It should be a springboard for many more such discussions and for many more opportunities for growth together as families. We should all enjoy a very happy and healthy Chag Kosher V'Sameach to all. Thank you very much for listening.